Welcome to On Time in Full, a podcast from Designed Conveyor Systems.
Welcome to a special year in review edition of On Time in Full. 2025 was a defining year across the supply chain world, a year of pressure, innovation, and transition from peak season volatility to the acceleration of automation and AI to the continued push for better customer experiences. One thing was impossible to ignore. Warehouses and distribution networks had to get smarter, faster, and more flexible than ever before. And in the middle of all that change, the conversations on this show revealed something deeper happening behind the scenes, a shift in how teams think, build, and lead. This year, we heard from project managers navigating multi-million dollar rollouts, engineers shaping the next wave of warehouse intelligence, leaders redefining company culture, and business development teams moving beyond transactional selling toward long-term partnership. Across every episode, a few themes kept rising to the top. Communication isn't a soft skill. It is an operational advantage. Technology only works when people are aligned. Culture is not a perk. It is the backbone of execution. And flexibility, whether in systems or strategy, is becoming the new competitive edge. So today we're taking a look back at the ideas that shaped 2025, the moments that stood out, and the voices that helped us understand where the industry is heading. So let's jump in. We begin this year talking about execution, what it really takes to lead complex warehouse projects. Jose Osorio brought clarity to the idea that great integrators don't simply install equipment. They lead with communication, alignment, and honesty.
We are approaching them from a consultant perspective as well. So we're trying to find solutions to them, with them, actually. So we're not trying just to push a certain product that we want to sell to install. You know, we're looking for what it's best for them, because the CS model is we don't only deliver the best product that we can, we also make the client have the best customer experience.
That focus on relationship over deliverable set the tone for the entire year. This was also the year Datum became not just a platform, but a unifying architecture for flexibility, control, and real-time decision-making.
We architected Datum from the ground up here at DCS. So taking all of the experience we have supporting customers in our industry, their use cases, and really rolling it all up and building a world-class product. So flexibility was key. We designed it as using microservices, as a microservice architecture. So deployed on the latest platform technology. So that enables us to scale up and down. Based on the needs or peak season or seasonality impacts. So optimizing resources, another key ingredient to what we're trying to accomplish.
Datum allows us to integrate hardware, automation solutions, conveyors, PLCs into one pane of glass. This allows us to connect our control solutions into our HMI or human machine interface and our execution system for optimization. And really what separates us is we have an integrated SCADA solution allowing Datum to be a one-stop shop for data, visibility, and reporting for any user.
Think of Datum as a puppet master. It uses data to make informed decisions, while control systems implement those decisions, ensuring products move efficiently and correctly based on Datum's direction. In layman's terms, Datum is the guide and controls kind of dances to the tunes.
Across engineering, software, and operations, the story was clear. Datum isn't just technology, it is the connective tissue. This year, we also zoomed out, far out, to explore the macro forces driving supply chain transformation. In their episode, Mark Kidwell and Mike Prince reminded us that everything starts with strategy.
It is kind of the foundational piece of everything that comes after. Getting the right warehouses or DCs in the right location is the foundational piece to having the supply chain perform the way it should, both in an operating cost environment and a service environment. Almost every client is looking for ways to do both, which is reduce cost and improve service. It is the first domino that needs to be in line to fall in order for the rest of them to be correct and for the rest of your network to perform long term. It allows and enables success and confidence that I'm doing the right thing. I'm investing the money. It's better when I invest it the right way.
The tech is really just the tool we use. So like any tool, we have to know how to use it. These aren't tools really that where we just push a button and get an answer. There's a lot of setup. We have to build the scenarios that we're going to model. But really what the tool lets us do is evaluate those scenarios quickly. It might take us 4 or 5 hours to run a scenario. You know, it's a mix of our experience, our expertise, and, you know, operations know-how, you know, and then using these tools to actually get answers out of that.
Technology supports supply chain transformation, but people guide it. We also heard powerful insights about control, specifically how brands are rethinking their distribution models. In our episode with Scott and Steven, one message stood out. Self-distribution isn't just a logistics strategy. It is a customer promise strategy.
The supply chain is no longer a secondary thought. It's no longer just moving boxes. It's actually a place where we can enhance and be in a competitive advantage across the industry.
We think of it as a competitive advantage. Not all health systems do, but our C-suite's smart enough to recognize that. And I think the good supply chains and the good health systems do. It's an enabler of care. Think about universal workers who can move material from one place to another as a robot. They don't care what they're carrying. They'll carry your linen or your food or your supplies or whatever it is. And in today's world, you have workers doing a lot of that. Is that really the best use of their brains? Probably not. And I'd rather have them walk next to the patient providing care and information and making sure they feel comfortable where they're going than having to push the wheelchair. So I think we're heading in that much more modern stage. And you fast forward 5 years, it'll be way more modern. On the agile front, I think that's about the data side, getting the data in the right place, executing it quickly, making sure you're distilling from what it's telling you fast. Things like control towers, right? That was very common in logistics. It's a control tower acting on the data that's helping you solve problems agile. It's not hard to imagine that leap. It's really hard to execute that leap, but it's not hard to imagine that that's where we'll be heading.
In a year defined by volatility, Scott and Steven reminded us that control isn't about owning assets. It's about owning outcomes. Another theme that surfaced this year was resilience, not just in operations, but in security. Cyber risk became a board-level concern across the supply chain. And our conversation with Michael Houston and Richard made one thing clear. Cybersecurity is no longer an IT issue. It is a people issue, a culture issue, and an execution issue.
Obviously, the biggest impacts for any operation and the biggest threat is ransomware. That's going to be data loss, corruption, operational downtime, those kinds of issues. But I would say the most common is going to be phishing attacks. And that can lead to all kinds of things like credential theft, financial loss, data breaches. Recent examples of phishing attacks, methods we have in place for guarding against that, you know, doing email authentication checks, but also you want to have your workforce really educated, cognizant of these attacks and have good methods for them to be able to report anything they see that's suspicious. I find that to be some of the most effective measures.
Network segmentation is probably the biggest role when it comes to security within our entire architecture of the network. Defense in depth is usually the approach that we take a look at. So multiple layers of security, from physical controls to the actual segmentation of the network itself. And that can be split up into different segments of the network as the whole network. And then a lot of endpoint security measures. So just layered approach to really try to catch everything that we possibly can. We actually go through scenarios as often as we can to try to mimic, you know, these type of threats or attacks that can happen, be it ransomware or a business email compromise, and then creating a response plan that, you know, goes through the check marks of, okay, you know, this is exactly what happens. Here are the scenarios of what could happen next. What do we do in those scenarios? And then that way, if something ever does happen, we're as prepared as we can be.
It was a reminder that resilience isn't just about machines or software. It's about awareness, alignment, and culture. No conversation this year made the human side of our work clearer than our episode with Megan Schrader of IMI, reminding us that execution is only as strong as the culture behind it.
First and foremost, though, it has to start with a strong leadership. If you don't have leadership not only backing up the culture of what you want that to be, but also participating is just as important. So it starts with leadership. And from there, you have a company that is really, just as you said, with culture being so important now, it's employee focused. And then having an environment where you really foster open communication. And that's where the good conversations, as far as the productive ones, really take place. And you get to know them and you're opening yourself up and you're showing how authentic you are because you care. And they start to do the same and it just builds that trust. So that open communication is certainly key. All of these things that I talk about, you have to weave them into your daily processes, your daily decisions, your daily interactions. It can't be a check the box one time deal. It has to be woven in. And when you have a culture where not just for HR, but when your leadership team and managers are really weaving that into their daily work, then that's when it becomes really a company culture where employees go, they care about me. They care about the work that I do, and they actually appreciate all of the hard work that we're doing.
Her message was a powerful reminder that culture isn't a perk. It's an operating system. And this year closed with a conversation about evolving from selling to partnering, a huge theme across the industry.
We earn it through transparency. It doesn't just happen overnight. It's something that takes time. And part of that in conversations with clients is not only sharing what's possible, but also what's not, right? And standing behind our commitments to them. And transparency is critical. And ultimately, sometimes that means walking away. That happens where we're not able to meet their needs in the budget and or the time frame that they're looking for. And we're certainly not going to put their business at risk. You know, our reputation is on the line, and that's paramount to the DCS team. So I think when clients know that you're invested in their success and that you're not willing to put their business at risk, and it's not just a sell, that the trust will follow.
A fitting message to close the year, partnership wins. 2025 was a year of transformation in technology, in execution, and in how teams across DCS and our partners show up for customers. The challenges will only get more complex. Automation will get smarter. Customer expectations will climb higher. But if this year taught us anything, it's that our advantage isn't just the tech we build. It's the people who stand behind it. Thank you for joining us for another year of On Time in Full. We will see you in 2026.